Good morning, church. If we could find our seats. I think I might try it. I might just stay. I think so. So those of you who have had kids or were a kid at one point, hopefully can relate to this. Every once in a while, as a parent, you have these moments where you just don't know what to do. And it's a balance between, I want to be a good parent, and also I just want to hurt you right now as well. That's just honesty. So yesterday we were at, Nancy and I were at Costco with our two littles, and we're eating lunch, and we were just eating pizza, and we had told the kids we'd get them ice cream afterwards, and all Tegan could focus on was ice cream. And we're like, dude, just eat your pizza, and yeah, we're going to get you ice cream. And I kept trying to explain to his little two-year-old mind that eating pizza equates getting ice cream. And we're going, and I mean, for probably like 10 minutes, maybe longer, I'm trying, Nancy's trying, and I finally resolved, like, okay, you're just not getting ice cream. And but we're in the eating part of Costco, just both trying to like get this kid to stop causing a scene because he's not getting ice cream, trying to keep ourselves calm. And it was just so funny to me because, again, like, he didn't understand that. It got to a point where we negotiated, you don't have to eat the whole pizza, eat three bites, right? And something so simple, end of the story, he ended up doing it. But there was a point where we were there. We were like, we're not going to reward this kid, and he's going to have to watch his big sister eat ice cream, and that is what it is. But how often is that us in our lives with the Lord? And we might be praying, we might be seeking the Lord for something, and God's like, yeah, that's great. If you just do these things, if you just keep pushing forward, if you just submit this in prayer, if you just get the right people around you, if you just do X, Y, and Z, then there's a good chance you might see the blessing that you're seeking. There's a good chance you might get the ice cream. There's a good chance you might get the promised land. But because of our carnal thinking, our stubbornness, whatever it may be, because the Lord doesn't do it our way, we get to a place where we just don't. And I'm here to tell you this morning, guys, that God wants to bless us. Like God wants so badly to bless his children. Just like me as a dad and Nancy as a mom, really, 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 we're like, we want to bless you. Like this, we don't have to do this. We want to do this because we love you, and because this is something fun, and because et cetera, et cetera. Like that's the Lord's heart for us in a very, you know, smaller version of it. And so this morning, you know, let's worship and let's just be seeking the Lord for God, where in my life, like where is the areas of my life that you're asking me to submit, you're asking me to lay down, you're asking me to just go after you. Where are the areas where you want me to just lay down my life? Let's stand as we get ready to worship. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are, and we thank you, Lord, that as we come to you, God, as we bring our burdens, we bring our stresses, we bring the things of the weightiness of life, God, Lord, ultimately is you want to bless us. You want to see us free. You want to see us move in mighty ways, God, in your name. And Jesus, we just thank you so much, Jesus, that even though when we're stubborn, even though when we're putting our foot down or digging our heels in, God, you are still pursuing us. You still have a desire to bless us. So God, we lift up our hearts to you this morning. We posture our hearts towards you this morning. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are. And we just pray that you would meet us this morning as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen.
over us today. Give us a sound mind today. Thank you. Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Get over this, but here we are singing this and we sound a little somber, but this is a good news song, you guys. We're in a house of miracles and we're supposed to lay everything at the feet of Jesus, including the like negative fight we might have had with our spouse on the way to church in the morning, or the kid that isn't listening, or the bank account that might be negative, or maybe like the stresses that you have to go home to. And the coworker at work that isn't exactly your favorite person to encounter, but you know you're going to have to see their face in the morning, it's an honest thing, right? But we're to lay those things at the feet of Jesus, right? With the good news of knowing that he's a God of miracles. He can change not the person, but our perspective on that person, the way we view them, the things that they carry, and begin to pray for them, but also pray for ourselves, and that we can see the change that he's able to do, not in them, but in us. Because when we allow him to change us, he moves in, and then now we have freedom and he can move into the other person or the circumstance that's holding us down or making us feel weighted, you know? And so I'm just like, I'm over here though, and I feel like we're just kind of like, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. He came on the cross so that we could live freely. Our brothers and sisters across the ocean don't get this freedom. They do have to do it somberly and underneath ground and in the hidden places, but we get to do it out loud and in front of each other. Do you guys feel that stirring? Do you feel him coming up and like making you excited? Show your excitement. Give it to him. Thank you, Jesus. You are amazing. You're a God of miracles. And we give everything to you, Lord.
Miracle, we bring everything to the feet of Jesus.
praise the Lord. I love this song, but it needs a little doctrinal shift to it, because it's not this house. This is a building. We are the house of miracles because Christ lives in us. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead is giving life to our mortal bodies. We can sing, yes, this is a house of miracles, and walk out the door and think we've left the house, but that's not truth. The truth is when you leave this place, you are the house of miracles. You are the one that's going to reach lives. You're gonna one that's the one that's going to touch hearts. You're going to one that brings healing to people because you are the house of miracles. So can we shift this a little bit and sing, we are the house of miracles?
Yesterday, we were studying about the building of the tabernacle and talking about how the gold of the tabernacle was pure. It was pure. And now we are the tabernacle. We have to be pure. When we get the impurities out, we'll be ready to go forth. When we go to, in Revelation, it says we're going to walk on pure gold, transparent glass. And gold is not pure unless it's, the gold is not transparent unless it's pure. So we have to get the impurities out before the Lord can really, really move in our lives. The more impurities we get out, the more the Lord moves in our lives. So what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. Yes. So let's press in. Get those impurities out. Get all the things of this world that distract us from him. Get it out. We need to get it out. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're just going to just stay here in this for a few minutes, you guys. I know sometimes I can feel a little uncomfortable, but it's in these moments, like I know in our world today, like we're so used to having things happen and then moving on, happen and moving on. But God's a God of process, and time is of no issue to him. And sometimes it's us, when we're sitting here in the discomfort of like, okay, why are we not moving on yet? But God's doing something, you know? He's stirring the hearts of our worship leaders, and they feel that there's something moving in this song, and we're trying to bring you along with us in what it is that we feel the heart of the Lord doing. And if you feel a stirring at all, that like maybe he's calling you, like a beat in your chest, or maybe you're feeling a little heated in places you don't normally feel, or maybe a little nervous, I think that's the Holy Spirit just trying to move something in you. And this is our opportunity just to wait in his presence and allow him to do the processing that needs to happen so that we can have transformation and have peace in exchange for the anxiety or chaos. Yeah, if you have a prayer tongue, I just encourage you to just begin to just speak out in it right now in the name of Jesus. And if you don't have a prayer tongue, that's okay. Just begin to thank him. Let's just thank him right now for the things that he's doing. Whether you've seen the end result yet or not, let's just begin to move in that gratitude and that thankfulness. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Yeah, like what's happening right now is there's a stirring in the spirit, and people are moving along with what God's wanting to do. And if you don't know what to say, it's okay. Just begin to say, thank you, Lord. 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 Work for salvation, but God, that you gave your son. You gave your son. Yes, Lord. back into that. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I just want us all to just sing that together, because this is a reminder that there's nothing that we can do. It's all in His blood. He did it all. We just partner with Him and believe in faith that it's taken care of. And in that relationship with Him, as we continue to believe in that, all the other stuff falls off and it becomes easier to be more like Him. No place. Thank you, Lord. We just give this service to you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the things that you've done already and are going to continue to do as we press in today. God, we lift this to you. We say hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Give somebody next to you a hug. Yeah. Tell them you're happy to see them. Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. All right. It's not going to be a big break today, guys. Just a short one. But so rush and get your coffee if that's a must. Otherwise, make sure you hug a shoulder next to you. Somebody you haven't hugged before yet. Tell them you're glad to see them.
Good morning, good morning. Let's go on ahead and get ready to do declarations, please. Okay, who all thinks that was a powerful worship session?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. It's good worship. So we're going to do the declaration over our city because we love our city and this is the place that we live. And we just want to declare good things over it. So on the count of three, let's do this. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. And I declare that every politician in our city and state will have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen.
So, Lord, we just thank you so much for our city, God. We thank you that you've blessed us with Yakima so we can live here, so we can have a church here, so we can just praise you here, God. And we just declare that this service would just give us the correct tools to be able to reach the people of Yakima, those around us, and those far and wide. And so we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Need a mic.
Praise God. I don't think we have any announcements other than just the offering. So I'll just do that real quick. You know, thank you guys. Like we always say, thank you guys for pouring in financially to the house and doing it with a joyful heart. Again, I just want to remind you that there is absolutely no pressure to give to the house of God. That is between you and the Lord. And in this house, we like to say that we don't take an offering, we receive an offering. And so, yeah, we receive it. And you could give in the box there. There's a box in the back, and you can give online as well. And I just believe that, you know, God is our provider, ultimately, at the end of the day. And so, however, we thank you guys for partnering with us in all that we're doing here. Amen. Pastor Mike.
Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for doing the transition really quick today. I know sometimes we can take 15 minutes of greeting each other and hugging each other's neck, which is good. So yesterday we had our second day of our Becoming One weekend. And so I did send out a text. I didn't hear back from anybody. Is there anybody that wants to share about maybe what the Lord taught them, or maybe imparted into their hearts a truth during this weekend? Anyone? Want to give them an opportunity? No one? Going, gone. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, it was a great time. We had about seven couples, wasn't it? Seven couples. And there was just a great atmosphere of fellowship, as well as communication of how to have a good marriage. So we'll do that again sometime if you would like to join us. Highly recommend it. Always building in your marriage is helping to equip your marriage for war. Amen? Amen. All right. We're going to go ahead and get started on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. You guys can probably quote this by now, just better than me, probably. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's a mouthful. What we've been learning is that the armor that we're talking about here, go up to this picture again, the armor that we're talking about isn't a physical armor, and it's not just a symbology, but what the armor is Christ himself and what he has accomplished on the cross. That he is truth, we learned when we learned about the belt of truth, right? Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That the righteousness that we receive in the breastplate is his righteousness. It says that he became sin, who knew no sin, so that we could what? Have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then we learned last week about our feet being prepared to stand. The preparation of the gospel of the peace that we know helps us stand in our faith, helps us walk this walk of faith. Amen? Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I like that. We have something that's going to quench every fiery dart. Now, I don't know if that's what exactly was meant by all, but I want to believe that that's all, that every single fiery dart that the enemy would try to shoot at me would be stopped by this shield of faith. Amen? So looking at this, in a few different translations, the Complete Jewish Bible says this, always carry, have on your being, in other words, the shield of trust. That's the word that's used a lot in the Old Testament, is the word trust for faith. There's a couple times that the word faith is used, but mainly it's the word trusting in him, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I like that, extinguish. In other words, those fiery darts that's coming at you, they're going to be literally extinguished and they're going to lose their power. But William says it this way: besides all these, take on the shield of faith, the shield which faith provides. See, that's the key. Again, it's not just some shield that we grab and it's like we are symbolically saying this shield's going to protect me. No, it's a shield because we believe in faith that God is our protector. We believe in faith that God is the one watching over our lives. We believe in faith that God is the one who's given us this life and life abundantly. All of these things that we've received, we receive by faith. Yesterday, we took communion at the very end of our time as couples. And I told them, we're receiving this by faith. This isn't something, just an action that we're going through. It's an act of faith. We're believing that everything Jesus accomplished on the cross, we're receiving it now into our marriage and into our lives. Amen? All right, the FCAB, basically that's the Aramaic, and if you want to know, most likely Jesus spoke Aramaic when he was teaching. Most people don't realize that, but that's probably how they communicated in Jerusalem at that time. And this is the way that the Aramaic says it. And with these, take to you the shield of faith, the shield of faith, that with it you may have the power to quench all the blazing bolts of the evil one. Blazing bolts, yeah. These are different descriptions for the same thing, but it lets us know that there's something that's coming at us or something that we need to be protected against. We learned yesterday, and I think I've communicated it before, that we're to be vigilant, it says in Peter, that we're to realize that the enemy of our soul is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He wants to devour us with these blazing bolts. He wants to devour us. And the blazing bolts, you know what they really are? They're lies of the enemy. That's what it is. We get to the place where we believe a lie, and because we're believing the lie, we fall into that deception. We fall into the pattern of the enemy's works instead of the pattern of God's works. Should have the enemy on this side, pattern of God's works. In other words, the Lord has a way for us to walk, but the enemy wants us to walk another way. And the way he does that is lies. That's his only power that he really has. Some would say, well, you know, what about when he attacks you or something like that? Well, that would be very rare, I would believe. I would believe that most of the time things happen to us because we live in a fallen world. It's like when I was believing God, Psalm 91, no evil's going to befall me, no plague's going to come near my dwelling. But I ended up getting COVID, the place where I ended up in the hospital for 11 days. I ended up in the hospital for 11 days because they had to do some serious work on my stomach because of issues. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to get into all that. But what ended up happening is that I believe that because I live in a fallen world, I was subjected to this fallen world. And God's grace took me through it. Prayers delivered me, I believe. God's hand was not done with me yet. And so even though the enemy wanted to take me out, had no opportunity to do it. But I'm telling you, what's that? Praise God. Amen. I'm still here, still kicking. But the point being is that the true power of the enemy is when we believe lies. When he tries to tell us things that are against, contrary to God, and are against what we know is right in our hearts. Most of the time, we know when we're getting something that's from the enemy. Most of us do. Like, oh, go and do this. Sounds fun, but I know it's probably not right, but it sounds fun, and you go and do it, and then you realize now you're walking in his path. You're walking in his ways. You're being conformed to the world. You're not being conformed to the image of Christ. Quench all the fire, blazing bolts of the wicked one, evil one. The Amplified Bible says this: lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon with which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Again, these missiles aren't physical missiles. These are lies of his. All right, so we're going to talk really briefly about the shield. The shield is only mentioned in Ephesians 6. You won't see the shield mentioned again. But there's a couple of times in the Old Testament that it mentions the shield, and I thought it would be good at least to show you how that shield was a protective force that the people of Israel, King David, they believed. It's like when David says, I'm going to run into the Lord. He's my strong tower. He's my mighty fortress. The shield is in the same kind of manner. Deuteronomy 33:29, Moses is telling the people of Israel, happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help. The Lord saved them, and he is the shield of their help, and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. So this is a kind of a declaration of who the Lord is, but what he's also going to do for the people of Israel. 2 Samuel 22:36 says this, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. So we have a helmet of salvation, but in the Old Testament, David's calling the shield his salvation. Salvation in the Old Testament meant a lot more than what it means today for us. We think, oh, salvation means I'm going to get saved. But salvation meant in the Old Testament that your whole being was being preserved. Your whole being was being saved. Your whole life was being protected. So that's why David is saying here, the shield of your salvation, your gentleness has made me great. Psalm 18:35 says, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. Now we're going to talk about faith. We're flying, aren't we? This is like faith. Faith is a word. It's up there, right? Yeah. Faith is the word pistis, and it means firm persuasion or conviction based upon hearing. It could also mean to persuade. In the New Testament, it's always meaning about faith in God or faith in Christ or faith in spiritual things. So we have a verse that goes right along with the idea of conviction based on hearing. It says, Romans 10:17. Has anybody heard this before? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if any of you ever come up, Pastor, increase my faith, I'm going to say, read the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, this word of God is the word rhema. So it's not just that you just read the Bible and it's like, okay, Pastor, I've been reading my Bible, but nothing's happening. I don't think I have more faith. I don't think I have more confidence for the Lord. I don't have more confidence to live life. You know why? Because you need to receive rhema word. Rhema word is word that's spoken directly to your heart by the Holy Spirit for you. Now, it could be a general word that Jesus speaks to the crowd and you read it and all of a sudden it leaps up in your heart. Has anybody had the Bible leap up in their heart? Like, you read something like, oh my goodness, that's a rhema. That's God trying to say, this word applies to your life right now. Maybe it applied to your life a while ago. Maybe you've never seen it the way that he's presenting it to you at this particular time. But when you receive that word by faith and you say, Lord, I want you to activate this in my life, guess what happens? That starts becoming true faith, and you start being able to live and walk out a new level in your life in Christ. Amen? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith isn't just what we think about, but faith is also something that is manifested. It's tangible. It's not something we can hold. It's not something that we can, you know, touch or smell or anything like that, but it's a tangible substance, and it's the substance that comes from hope. So I believe that when we read the word, when we hear the good news, when we hear the promises of God, it stirs us. And we start to say, oh, this might be for me. God might really mean that this is about Mike Lindell. And you know what? I'm going to say Mike Lindell can receive this. And so guess what? Faith starts to develop. I say, well, if God said this about me or said this in the word and I'm receiving this, I can now walk in this truth. So I can start believing for my healing. I can start believing for his provision. I can start believing for his blessing in my life. It says I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So all I got to do is figure out how to get them down from the heavy places and start walking in them here, right? That's just a general idea. In the Old Testament, faith was used here. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. I was having coffee with Eric this week, and he was really saying how the communication, the story, the event that took place where Jesus is coming off the mountain and comes in and sees the boy who's basically in epileptic seizure, and the disciples can't do anything. And he says something. I hope this is when you're going to preach this in the future. You can still preach it. They'll forget what happened this week. Anyway, I do. Like I sometimes go, what did I share last week? Wait a minute, it's the series. Okay, I could go back and remember. So if you forget, I don't get offended, believe me. If you forget tomorrow, Pastor, what was that thing you said? I don't care. As long as it goes into your heart and the Holy Spirit uses it someday. But what ended up happening is Eric was telling me how the Father says, because Jesus says, if you believe, I'm going to take care of your son. He goes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He was saying, I lack some faith here, God. I lack some faith, Jesus. I know you've done many works. That's why I brought him here. I know that you probably have, I heard about you raising the dead and all the other stories, because this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. I've heard about all those things, but help my unbelief, because I've seen my boy in this condition since he's a little baby. And so this is what I see, but I'm going to choose to believe what you've done and what you can do, not what I see. So the children, because this is Moses again, in the same, pretty much just at one chapter before, and he's telling them that they're going to have an issue in the future because there's no faith in them. In Habakkuk, it says this, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. What is the just? The just is the ones right before God. The ones that have a good relationship before God. Hey, folks, we have a good relationship before God. You may say, well, Pastor, you don't know my prayer life. You don't know my Bible reading. You don't know the kind of things I think. You don't even know some of the things I've done. But I'm telling you, it's not about what you've done and what you've thought. It's about his righteousness. And if you come to God, say, Lord, I need your righteousness, because my righteousness, the things I do are horrible. So I need your righteousness. And then you know what? You're just before God. And you know what? You can live by faith. Hebrews 11, 5 through 6 says this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And why did he please God? We're about to find out. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So that tells me that Enoch was a man full of faith. He was someone who looked to God for his source, looked to God for his friend. I mean, he was a companion to God. If you study the Old Testament, you see when he was walking with God, it says that he was not, because God took him. God said, you know what, Enoch, you come and be with me. I like hanging out with you. And so Enoch ended up being the first one translated to heaven. And then later, Elijah was. But here we see that it takes faith to please God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God or please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is a preach all in of its own. But the idea is that for us to come to receive from God, we have to believe that he exists. We have to live like he exists. You know, it's one thing to come to church on Sunday, and it's another thing to live church during the week. It's one thing to come into the building and say, okay, I'm being a Christian right now. It's another thing to take the temple, as Bob was sharing, out purely and go and show Jesus among the lost and dying. And the way that we do that is by faith. Listen, we're never going to arrive. Did Bob leave? Where's Bob? Bob, you still here? Bob, you would agree. I mean, yes, as pure as we get, we're not going to be fully pure until we see Jesus. And praise God, that's when we get to be fully, totally pure. But we can strive and be vigilant and have our hearts set like a flint on God, and he can work the impurities out of our lives so that we do shine ever brighter. We do go from glory to glory. We go from faith to faith. But where we're at right now, he can use us. And I'm telling you, he used me years ago when I didn't know much and I didn't have it all together and I didn't have all my life all together. But I was wanting to be used by him. I was willing to have my heart touched by him. I was willing to make mistakes. I was willing to do things, you know, that now I look back and say, that was crazy what I was doing, you know. Out on the streets in the middle of the night, you know, walking around and gangs are everywhere, but I wanted to reach lives, and so had some friends out there, so we went out there, and praise God, nothing ever happened to us, but we were hungry for more of God, and we wanted others to have that same God that we had. We knew what he delivered us from. We wanted to help others be delivered from what they were trapped by. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. In other words, don't think that you've got it all together. Believe me, the more I get closer to Jesus, the less I think I've got it together. The more that people think I've got it together, the less that I think I've got it together. You know why? Because I start to see more of his glory. I start to see more of who he is, and I realize how undone I am. So I have no place to stand in my own strength. I have no place to stand in my own glory or anointing or anything like that. I need God, because God is the only way that I'm going to be who he's called me to be. But God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So you got a measure of faith, folks. We all have some faith. You can't say that you're faithless. Well, I know that you're here today, so you wouldn't be faithless. But God has dealt with each of us a measure of faith. Now, can this faith grow? Absolutely. Because how does it grow? Hearing the word of God. But God has given each one of us a starting point. And some he's given a little bit more. There's some that come out of the gates, and it seems like, wow, God's really made a big deposit in them. And there's some that like, well, they're coming along. They'll get it. It's a process. You know, it's not an overnight success. But we have to realize that it's God who gives us this measure of faith. And that if we come before him, Lord, this is what you've given me. I'm going to give it back into your hands. Can you multiply it? If I trust you with my faith, if I trust in you more, will you multiply this little bit of faith that you've given me so that I can carry more of you with me so that others can be reached, others can be touched? Amen. All right. Luke 22:31-34. There was someone in the New Testament that was used mightily by God on the day of Pentecost. I mean, in such a way that literally 3,000 were saved because the Holy Spirit came down and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But he preached a sermon that got people radically changed. Obviously, it was the Holy Spirit working. But this is the same individual that we're talking about right here. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. What was he wanting for Simon? He wanted to throw those fiery darts at Simon. Simon, the enemy wants to throw fiery darts at you. He wants to tell you lies. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be out of the mind of Christ, and he wants you to be in your own head. And for a while, yep, Simon fell into it. But he says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And it didn't. Wavered a little bit. He denied Jesus 3 times. He ran from the scene. He wasn't at the foot of the cross like the Apostle John. But later on, the Lord restored him, sitting over a meal, and said, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him 3 times. And I believe those 3 denials were healed by 3 acts of love, where Jesus was saying, I love you. You love me, Peter. It's okay. I know that restoration is in your future and that you're about to, in about 10 days, preach the sermon of your life, and you have no clue right now. Amen? Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me 3 times. Ah, let's forget the denial. 3 times he denied, but 3 times he was restored. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is where the church has failed, I'm telling you right now, because we have taken what people have spoken from the pulpit as gospel truth, but it wasn't all founded in the Word. It has to be founded in the Word. It can't be in the minds of men. It can't be in the thoughts and the intents of other people's hearts. It has to be the mind of Christ. It has to be what the Spirit is saying to the church in this day. Did you guys know that the Spirit has a word for the church in every generation? Sometimes every decade. Sometimes every year. But what is the Spirit saying to us now? Well, I believe the Spirit's saying to us now, rise up, children. Rise up and become who I've called you to be. Stand in the authority and having done all to stand. Put on Christ like never before and let that gospel of Christ shine forth from us. I believe that's what the Spirit's saying. I believe that's why I'm sharing this message. But don't believe in the wisdom of men. You know, don't lean on someone else's own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways and then believe in His power. Because that's where faith comes from, believing in His power. Lord, You've said this in Your Word. You've shown Your power all through the Word of God. I'm believing that same power is available to me, and I receive it now by faith. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, for from you the Word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. This was the Thessalonica church, and they believed in their faith in Christ so much, in God so much, that it went out and it spread news of what they were doing. I believe they were witnesses in their world in such a way that it wasn't just heard in the church, it was heard in the world. Sounds like Thessalonica was some of those that turned the world upside down. 1 Peter 1:6 through 9 says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Some of us have been grieved by various trials. Some of us have gone through things in life. Some of us have done things on our own account, and some of us have had things done to us, and some of us have just basically been in the wrong place at the wrong time. But God's grace. Then he says here, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, Bob was talking about fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, we don't see Jesus except in our hearts. We see him in our lives by his demonstration of what he's doing and working in our lives, but we don't see him face to face right now. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. This is what Nancy was trying to get us to realize this morning. You know, the thing is like we're coming to the place where we have an opportunity once a week, for sure. Now, we can do it any other time during the week. I'm not saying, but where we can come before God with joy inexpressible and full of glory because of what he's done for us. But the thing is that we're not going to show that unless he's really done it for us. So our way that we display our communication to God really reflects what's going on inside. And I know this life's hard. I know that the difficulties that we face, the challenges that we face financially, you know, economically, you know, in morally, you know, emotionally, all of these things in our hearts are very, very hard. But you know what? God is greater than all that. And this is a temporary existence. All of us have a promise of an eternal resurrection of glory. So no matter how junk it is outside or how much junk it is inside, when we come here, we should tell God, whoa, we're thankful for what's coming. At the very least. You know, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, but a little bit. In Africa, people will walk. You know, unless they're lying to me, but I don't think they're lying to me. I've heard they'll walk days to get to a revival meeting so that they can get a glimpse of what God might do in their lives. I've heard of long meetings in these sweltering hothouses where people are taking the day off of work and they're going to go at night and finish the job because they're so hungry for God. But you know, we have the Word of God so available to us that it's easy to not have to apply faith to this walk, because it seems to all be kind of handed to us on a silver platter. Here you go. It's all neatly wrapped. It's all in a nice three binder package. And you know, and you can go to it when you think you might need it, but most of the time, yeah, we don't have anything to worry about here. That's the kind of attitude that the enemy's lying to us about. Because it is a lie. Because our lives are in the balance. We don't realize the breath of God is in us, and we breathe because of his life in us, then we're going to take for granted of why we're even alive. We don't realize that he is the source of our very life, life won't mean much. We'll be just like the world, wondering, what's tomorrow going to bring? Well, tomorrow's going to bring his glory if we're in him. Even if our day goes normal, doesn't seem to have anything different than what happened last Monday. In Christ, things are happening. Yep. Whether they're internal or exterior, things are happening because he is our God and he is at work in each and every one of you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's not holding back. The fire of God is burning in you. And that's what Nancy's trying to say. Let's just move in a little bit, because I think if we do, maybe something might cut loose. And it doesn't have to cut loose here, but if it cut loose is something in you, and you go out there and it's really cutting loose, we'll all rejoice. We're not doing this so that we can say, oh wow, that was a fire full service. Everybody was up front and holding up their hands. I mean, that'd be great, but that's not what we're after. We're after changed hearts and changed lives, because that's what's going to change the world. Sorry, I got a little off there. But receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's the end of faith. Yeah, we hold the shield of faith through this life to keep the fiery darts away and to keep the lies from the enemy away from us. But at the very end of this life, our faith brings us to a place of salvation for our very soul. That when others are being judged for all of their works because they did not receive the grace of God into their lives for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, they are just, you know, unrepented and fight God their whole life, we can stand and say, Jesus, you are the reason I'm here. And he'll say, come on in, son. Come on in, daughter. I've been waiting for you. And I know it's been a hard life, but that faith that was more precious than diamonds, more treasurable than gold, you held on to it, and now come on in. Whatever come on in means. I don't know. I don't mean it means to have a party, or it means to come into a place that we just stand with our mouths gaping for a year or two or 10,000. I don't know. Because I know that you could imagine and think anything you want to about what God has in store for us, and it's better. I can think some pretty cool stuff. I don't know about you. Let's get to the very end of this, because this is where it really hits the road. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's a call to action. That's a call to set aside everything of this life, everything that's been holding you back, everything that's been lying to you, and saying, you know what? I'm going to run a race, and God's going to give me the power to run it with endurance. Looking unto Jesus. This is the key. This is how you run with endurance. You look to Jesus. You don't look at the circumstances. You don't look at the lies around you of life. And he is the author of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. In other words, he's the one who writes our faith. And he's the one who started once upon a time with us. And he's the one that says, and lived happily ever after. That's the story he's writing for us. And in between, we join with him in this walk of faith. And the story is written. And when we're in Christ, the story is a glorious story. Because others can read our lives as a book, and they get to see the goodness of God. But that only happens if we're trusting in him, having faith in him, having confidence in him. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is this saying? For the joy that was set before him, you and I are his joy. That's why he says, I'm waiting for you. That's why he told his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to invite you there because I want to be with my family. I want to be with my brothers and sisters. I want to be with my children. I don't know how we can be brothers and sisters of him and children, but that's God. He's got definitely ways that I don't understand. But this is really the truth, that we get to be with him because he is the author and finisher of our faith. And because of this, we can fight the good fight of faith. We can wage war. And if we wage war enough for ourselves, guess what? We can help others. We can say, oh, it looks like that's hard for you to hold that shield against the fiery darts. We can come along, our brother and sister. Let me lift this shield up for you. Let me help you protect yourself from those fiery darts. And then you know what? While I'm doing this, someone else will come and say, here, you've got your shield down because you're helping them. And they'll put their shield up. That's the body of Christ. We're not in this alone. We're in this together. What a glorious thing. It's a reason to get excited. It's a reason to say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you know what? It does wash away my sin. It makes me whole again. It purifies me. It makes me able to stand and say, I can have confidence in God because it's not about how much I can muster up my own righteousness. It's about what he's done for me. And because he's done this for me, I can stand, and having done all to stand, and continue to watch what God does as the author and finisher of my faith. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's do whatever song you want, but I never really washed my sins. I like that song today.
Let's stand together, church.
sin, and nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? And nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Sing what can wash.
What can wash
your blood. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for us. We thank you, Lord, because of that sacrifice, Lord, you have allowed us to enter into a covenant relationship with you. You've allowed us, Lord, to enter into a relationship that's eternal with you. And Lord, you are our everything. You are our source. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for purifying us. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making us righteous before you and the Father. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that that truth, that reality, Lord, that you are the one that has given us, Lord, our righteousness. You're the one, Lord, that's given us life and life abundantly, Lord. But Lord, that truth, God, would help us to be people that would live by faith, Lord, that would walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and confidence in you and not by what we see with our natural eyes. Lord, that we would realize that you're the one that started this work in us. You're the one that started this journey of faith in us, Lord. You're the author of our faith, Lord. And that someday you will be the completer and the finisher of our faith and our journey with you. I just blessed everyone, Lord. I pray that this truth, God, would sink deep into their hearts. Lord, that it would produce a fruit, God, that would allow them, Lord, to live above their circumstances, to live protected by the fiery, from the fiery darts of the enemy. And that, Lord, that others would see it, Lord, and want to know what they have. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless y'all. Love you. Have a great day.